If you're in movies, you're a hero. If you're a sports figure, if you can dunk a basketball, you are something. You're a real hero. Not really. I've seen a lot of guys dunk basketballs that are idiots. Believe me, they are not heroes. But Major Dick Winters was a hero when men were real men and when soldiers could be real soldiers, unlike nowadays. And there's nothing coming out of Hollywood that's a hero. Some of those guys are idiots. You know, the actor, Matt Damon, you know him, the big Hollywood action hero, the Jason Bourne. That guy's a fool. He was protesting because there wasn't enough free water somewhere in Africa. He was protesting bathrooms. He wasn't going to use the bathroom for a whole year. So it's like, okay, go out in the front yard if you want to, I guess. I don't know. But he's not someone I want to follow. I think Major Dick Winters is someone I wanted to follow. But that's not my sermon. That's not the title. That's not the person of my sermon. The person I really want to look at was Paul. Was another real hero. So 2 Timothy 4, verse 1, says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. You can tell everyone has dad's Bible because everyone's turning the pages at the same time. I did also. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Now look at verse 6 through 8. Paul is a real hero. I talked about we had no heroes in the world nowadays. We have no Christian heroes either nowadays. We're sadly lacking them. And guys my age and younger, we need to start stepping up and picking up the banner. We need to start stepping up. We need someone to step up and say, follow me. You know, follow me in the fight against the world. Follow me in the fight against the devil. Or just follow me in the right path. We need some Christian heroes. I love history. I look at history. I love reading history. In the summer when I'm mowing, I have all this free time on my hands. So I listen to audiobooks. I listen to audiobooks four or five books a week. And I always get all history or biography or Christian biographies. And man, there are some real men back in the olden days. And we look back at the olden days and we say, wow, those were great times. That's a great God back then, back in the 1800s with Moody and Sankey and all those other men. It was a great God. We have the same great God nowadays, but you know what's going on? It's not God that's dropping the ball. It's us. We're dropping the ball. So we need some men to get up there and say, follow me. I'm going to do right for the Lord. And I think Paul was one of those men. Paul was one of, if not the best Christian that ever lived. I think he was bold. I think he was wise. I think he was dedicated. He was faithful. Paul was always on fire for the Lord. And that's someone I want to be like. When I see someone like that, I see something that Paul says, I'm going to listen. Now when President Obama does his State of the Union speech, I don't even watch it. Or some other politician gets up there and does this, don't even listen to it. That's just all garbage. It's all foolishness. But when Paul is saying something, I see it and I'm like, I want to implement that in my life. I see Paul. This guy's wise. This guy's smart. I want to take what he's saying, and I want to do it. A lot of times, though, we're Christians. We look at the Bible as something old, and we don't really follow it. And we listen. We go to the politicians. We go to them for our wisdom. But we're going to the wrong place. We need to go to the Bible. This passage here, I love this passage. I think 2 years ago, when I was in Bible Institute, they assigned this passage to us. And our instructor gave us three verses, said, you have to come up with a sermon out of this, no matter whether you can find one or not. Come up with it. So we did, and he wanted the theme of this passage. And so we all came up with the theme is a crown of righteousness, but I thought saw it a little bit different. But I had a little more time, because I had to do it in 18 minutes. So now I have a little more time to stretch it out. So that was nice, because then you had to get there and you talk really, really fast and hope that he understood what you said. Otherwise, you get an F. And you had to be done in time or you got points taken off. But I look at this passage right here, mostly I'm focusing from 6 to 8, but I look at this passage as a how-to passage. How to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Or perhaps, how to receive the crown of righteousness. Or maybe a passage is Crowns for Dummies. You know those dummies book? We all need dummy books, right? We're all dummies. I like this passage as a crown for dummies for me. Because I can relate to that. But like I said, how to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's my goal in my life. When I stand before God someday, and every one of us here are going to stand before God, and God's going to look at me, he's going to say, "Brent, what'd you do for me?" And what am I going to say? "Oh, you know, I had a lot of yards I did. That's not going to do anything for me. No, I was a pretty good basketball official. Big deal." What's that going to do for God? I want God to look at me and say, "Brent, you did a good job. I'm proud of you. Well done. Well done." That's what I want my Lord and Savior to say to me. Excuse me. Now, Paul, he didn't have any physical kids on earth, but he had a ton of spiritual kids. Like any good father, he wanted his kids to receive what he had. If you're a good parent, you want your kids to be better Christians than you ever will be. Any good parent would want that. I want my kids to do far more than I ever will for the Lord. I want my kids to lead more souls to the Lord than I ever will. I want my kids to be better, well, not my daughters, my sons to be better preachers than I ever will be. I want my kids to receive more than I ever have for the Lord. And Paul was like that. And I know Paul got the crown of righteousness. And he said, I got it. And he said, "Timothy, I want you to have it." He said, "This is how I did it. Follow, do this, do this, do this." Because verse 8 says, "There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness." He said he knew what was up, waiting up there for him. He said, "Not just for me, it's for anyone." That's the best part about this passage. Anyone can get this. This isn't exclusive. Any Christian can get this. But Paul was concerned about Timothy's spiritual life, and he gave him some directions to follow. He said, "Follow me, Timothy. Follow me." You know, when we're up in heaven and everyone's and God's giving out the rewards and the crowns, I'm not going to stand anywhere near Paul. Yeah, I don't want to be embarrassed. I call Lot. I'm standing right behind Lot. That's who I call. Or maybe Demas, the guy that left Paul. I'm going to hang out. I'm right between those two, right before and after. That'll feel good about myself. But I don't want to be like Paul at all. But a lot of Christians, you know, Jesus Christ left everything for us. Yeah, a lot of us, we can't even bother to do anything for the Lord. We don't even crack, how often do you crack open your Bible? Is it once a week? Is it every day? We don't do anything for the Lord. We're good if we make Thursday evening church service. I mean, that is sacrificing for the Lord. Right there, isn't it? That's our attitude. That's our attitude towards Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ left everything in heaven. He left everything for me. Why can't I do something for him? Now, heaven, if we don't work, we're not going to get the rewards in heaven, right? If you don't work, heaven doesn't have a food stamp system. It doesn't. Heaven's not like the YMCA where you're not going to get a participation ribbon just because you got up there. Paul got the reward, and he knew exactly how to do it, and he wrote it down for Timothy. He said, "You do this, you do this, and you do this, and you'll receive the crown of righteousness." It's a very simple pattern, but for a lot of us, it's very difficult to follow. Paul said, "Follow me." He said, "Follow me in these steps." So first of all, in verse 6, he said, "Follow my faithfulness." In verse 6, it says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." And the last part of verse 7 says, "I have kept the faith." I have kept the faith. Paul said, "Follow my faithfulness." Paul is the most faithful Christian I've ever lived. He's faithful in everything. Look at verse 1. It says, verse 1 in this passage is a charge. It's a command. It's like, "I'm telling you to do this." It said, verse 2, "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine." Now, it's easy to say that, but Paul actually did it. Now, if someone says it and doesn't follow it up, that has no weight. But Paul said it, and he followed up everything to a T, so it had some serious weight to it. Paul was a faithful Christian. It's a charge. Paul gave him a charge to do all this, and he could say it because he did it. Everywhere he went, what's the first thing Paul did? He got into town, he's like, "All right, where's that? Where's that tabernacle or temple? Or synagogue? Where's that synagogue? I'm going straight there. I'm preaching about Jesus Christ." First thing he did, every town he was, bragging about the Lord Jesus Christ. Everywhere he go, Paul was faithful. He was in season all the time. He didn't say, "Okay, Lord, it's out of season for souls. Like, yeah, I can't preach. It's winter time. We all know winter, you have to stay inside because it's cold out." No, Paul was everywhere, the whole year round, preaching the gospel. He was almost a teeny bit annoying, almost, with his "rejoice evermore, you know, and everything give thanks, and I'm content with whatever I have." It's like, "Shut up, Paul, okay, I'm not." I like Jeremiah and Elijah, the guys that gripe sometimes. They They gripe at God. They did the job, but they gripe the whole time. And that's more my style. I like that better. But Paul is faithful. He was content with whatever state he had. Everywhere he went, he preached, he served, he ministered. You know, you ever have bad days? We all have bad days, right? We all wake up and you're just grouchy. Don't nod, Jen. No. You're just grouchy and you don't get your Bible that day, and you say, God, I'll get you tomorrow. I'll try harder tomorrow, and I'll work on it. I don't think Paul had one of those days. I really don't think Paul missed the devotions. I don't think Paul missed a prayer. I don't think Paul woke up and told God, just not feeling it today, God. I'll get you later. I don't think he did that. Paul's faithful every single day of his life. God commanded us to be faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2. 1 Corinthians 4:2. It says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. God's requiring it of us to be faithful. It's not optional. This is mandatory faithfulness. We're supposed to be faithful. How faithful are you to your devotions? Like I said earlier, is it once a week? Every 2 or 3 days? Once a month? Or is it every single day like the Bible says? The Bible says search the scriptures daily. How faithful are you to your prayer life? How about witnessing? Are you faithful there? Are we faithful in telling others about Jesus Christ? Or not to meddle, but how's this? How faithful are we to our TV shows? Are we more faithful to TV than we are to the Lord? For a Christian, that's embarrassing. How faithful are we to God and to His commandments? From the day that Paul got saved until the day he died, he was faithful every single day of his life. If they had a dictionary back then, the Hebrew dictionary, when they read it backwards, his picture would have been on this side of faithfulness. Exactly how faithful he was. Paul went so hard for the Lord for so long in his life. He was so diligent for the Lord that at the end of his life, guys like me, young guys like me, that were still full of vim and vigor, we couldn't keep up with them. Look back in 2 Timothy 4:16, it says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. That's how faithful Paul was. He said, I don't need you people. I got the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all I need. I'll stay faithful to him. Paul is the absolute definition of faithful. You say, well, why do I have to be so faithful? No, it's the pastor's job to be faithful, not mine. Right? No. It's every one of us' jobs to be faithful. Can you imagine if God was faithful enough, was as faithful in forgiving you as we are to him? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. I'm glad God's more faithful than I am. I'm very glad God's more faithful than I am. Don't let the world get a hold of you with all its worthless traps. Stay faithful to God. Stay faithful to his word. Don't be an up-and-down Christian. Like, you know, the roller coaster's up and down and up and down. Paul was a constant steady his whole life. One of my favorite things, my sayings, Luke 16:10, another reason why we need to be so faithful. Because we tend to think, it's little things. No, it's little. It doesn't really matter. Who cares? God didn't entrust me with anything big at all. It's a tiny Sunday school class with 2 kids in there. No, who cares if I blow off the class that week? Luke 16:10 says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. So it doesn't really matter. God doesn't care about the size of the job you're doing. God doesn't care if you're pastoring a church with 10,000 people. God doesn't care if you're teaching a Sunday school class with 3 people. He cares how faithful you are in doing your job and how diligent you are to the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter the size of the job. God just wants you to be faithful. Stay faithful. Follow Paul's faithfulness. So first of all, Paul said, follow my faithfulness. Next he said, follow my fight. Verse 7, follow my fight. It says, I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. And we like fights, don't we? Don't we just all love fights? It's something in us. Remember, Dad, when we were younger, remember we went to the hockey game? And back in the first period, there started to be a fight. And everyone's up on the glass staring. Everyone's wanting to see the fight. It's just in us. We love to see fights. And Paul's talking about a fight right here. And I'm not talking about these stupid basketball fights where someone runs in from half court and punches them in the back of the head and runs away. Or baseball fights where they all just kind of lock arms around each other, fake pull each other away. No, it's real fights. The Christian life is a real fight. It's a knockdown, drag-out fight. And Paul, he was a fighter. Before he got saved, what was he doing? He was traveling around killing Christians. So he knew how to fight, and he knew how to fight well. Now, when we get saved, we don't realize this right away, but the moment you get saved, you jump right into the middle of a war, right into the middle of a fight between good and evil, between right and wrong, between God and the devil. When we get saved, the devil's going to come after us with everything he has. He's going to come after you. He's going to fire fiery dart or fling fiery darts at you. He doesn't fight fair. The devil's not going to say, okay, you're looking, now I'll try to hit you. No, he's going to say, oh, look, an eagle, and then hit you in the back of the head. The devil does not fight fair. And Paul knew that. And Paul said, follow my fight. Paul was aware of the fight all the time. He said, I have fought a good fight. Now, Paul wasn't like us. A lot of times we get Christians, we get all on fire for the Lord, right? We're going to get out there, we're going to tell the Lord, I'm going to draw blood for the Lord. I'm going to get in a fight, and we put our dukes up, and we get popped in the face, and what happens? Do we get back up? No, we crawl to the sideline, and we cry. And we complain about how much that hurt, and how hard they're fighting, and why am I getting hurt? Lord, I'm just trying to do something for you. Couldn't you protect me? And then we spend our whole life on the sidelines fighting and never doing anything for the Lord. But not Paul. He didn't give up. He didn't go quit. He didn't whine about anything. He got back up in the fight. I see Paul up there fighting and fighting. He's kind of like God's Energizer Bunny. He just keeps going and going. I see him getting knocked down. He's back up. He's getting knocked down. He's back up. I see Paul just taking a big old uppercut right in the jaw, getting up, wiping the blood off and saying, is that the best you got? Let's go, big boy. That's how I see Paul fighting the devil. That's what I want to be like. I don't want to be like that little baby over there saying, my lip, I'm a little bloody. That's how most Christians are. You're not anything to the Lord if you're a baby. You're not. Now look at what Paul said, verse 7. I have fought a good fight. Paul said he didn't fight an okay fight. He didn't fight a decent fight. He fought a good fight. I don't think Paul's bragging. I think the Lord told him to put that in there. What kind of fight do you want to fight? Anyone ever get in a fight as a kid? You ever get maybe one or two fights? And how'd you end up? Did you get beat? Were you on the ground crying, begging for mercy? I was in the receiving end of one of those fights. I admit it. I didn't fight a good fight there. But what do you want God to write down about you? Do you want God saying, he fought a good fight. I'm impressed with him. Or do you want God to say, look at him. Kind of embarrassing. He's crying like a girl. I know that's politically incorrect to say nowadays, but he's crying like a girl, and I'm kind of embarrassed of him. What kind of fight are you going to fight for the Lord? Look at 1 Corinthians 11. Look at everything that Paul went through. 1 Corinthians 11. Oops, I might have wrote down the wrong thing. 2 Corinthians 11, sorry. Thank you, peanut gallery. I had to go to the expert back there. But look at everything that Paul went through. He said, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, I'm in verse 23, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, saved one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Look at all that stuff he went through. You know what he still said? I'm content. I'm content. I got up and fought. Man, I don't know. I think the first one, I'd have knocked out at the first one. If I'd have been saying, I'm content. But Paul said, got up and said, I'm content. He said, all right, devil, let's keep going. How are you fighting the devil? How are you fighting for the Lord now, today? Don't chicken out and quit. You know, real men stay on the front lines. I said I love listening to military books. I've never heard of any man that won the Medal of Honor running from the conflict. I've never heard of anyone getting decorated, sitting on the sideline, complaining. If that's not going to happen in life down here, that's not going to happen in heaven upstairs, up there. It's not going to happen. If you want to win something for the Lord, you got to get in the fight. And you gotta stay in the fight. You're not gonna win any medals, you're not gonna win any crowns if you're not out there in the fight. How are we gonna be rewarded when we run from the devil? Do we expect God to reward us if we sit in the sidelines our whole life? Stay in the fight. In verse 7, another one in verse 7 says, I have finished my course. Paul mentioned a race here. And race is another difficult thing to finish. I hate racing. I looked at some stats. It said only 0.5% of the U.S. population has ever run a marathon. I'm proud to say I'm in the majority there. And only 4.4% of those people that started actually finish. So the race, or Paul's talking to me, finish my course, he's talking about a long race here. You ever see people running a marathon and they're running and they're just sweating and they're crying, they're bleeding from their feet and everything? Last summer, I was out delivering mail out in the back roads of Bowling Green. I was delivering in those little stupid white box trucks. And some lady was out there, and she flagged me down, she waved me down. She said, they're running a marathon back here. Can you just drive slow? I said, sure. If you get in front of the mailbox and run over them. I didn't say that. I said, sure, I'll drive slow. So I pulled to the other side of the road, and I see all these people running back. And there's a bunch of people, and they're sweating. It was early. It was like 8 o'clock in the morning, and I was at halfway point already. I was at their halfway point. And they're sweating, and I see a bunch of them just running, drinking, and sweat pouring. And then I see this one ding-dong running in a full Batman outfit with a cape, a mask, a cape, the Batman undies, and he's running. And I just looked at him, I just started laughing at him. That is not the Christian life. I was like, how in the world is this guy going to finish 13 more miles? That was the only marathon I'll ever watch right there. I almost turned around and wanted to follow him and see how long it lasted. But I like to watch, during the Olympics, I like to watch the sprints. You know, like the guys that, boom, boom, they're done in 8 seconds, it's good. That's how I like it. That's all I got time for. I'm busy, busy man. I don't like watching the marathons, those 2.5 hour runs. I'm not going to watch that. Maybe I'll watch at the end, the last 8 seconds before they run across the finish line. But a lot of times, Christians think it's just like the fight. They'll jump in the fight, ready to fight. They think the Christian life is like a sprint. They're going to get out there and they're going to run as fast as they can, and they get tired, and they stop. They don't finish your course. That's sad. That's sad to me. How are you racing? How are you doing on your race? How are you doing on your fight? Paul fought a good fight, and he ran a good race that he finished. And how are you doing on your fight? Then the last thing Paul said, actually part of verse 7 and part of in the end of verse 8, it says, he said, follow my finale. Follow my finale. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Not to me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing. Paul said, follow my finale. I touched on it briefly, just very briefly, and did it that on purpose, the last point, because then I wouldn't have had a third point if I didn't use it all the last point. But how are you running your race? Are you going to finish your race? I hate sound like an old person. Derek Montel did give me a good compliment, said I never grew up, I looked the same. Jen took it the wrong way, but she said, yeah, he hasn't grown up. But that just sounds like an old person, but no one finishes things anymore. No one has the character to finish anything. Is that what you say also, Mr. Pearson? But I have a reffing buddy. We travel a lot of places together. And he's my age. We're both 32. And we got talking one time in the car about how this young generation is awful and how no one has any character. And we started laughing. We're 32. We sound like old people. But no one does. And another time, I was at a game, and it was warm-ups, and I was in the locker room, and they were playing that rock rap music really loud. I was in the locker room, and it was really annoying me. I was just in a crappy mood that day. I had one of those days off, you know. I was in a crappy mood, and I texted Jen. I said, "I'm getting old. I hate this music. It's driving me nuts. I just want to go out there and yell at everyone, 'Get off my lawn!'" Jen texted me, said, "Maybe you're just getting more spiritual." I said, "That's not the case. We know that." So I was feeling a little bit old over the winter there. But no one has the character to finish anything. Like I said, many Christians jump in the Christian life and sprint out ahead of the pack, and they'll run as fast as they can for 50 yards. And then what? Christian life is more than 50 yards. They're running. You know how you run and you get that stitch in your side? That three times I ever ran a race, you get the stitch right there, and it's awful and it hurts. Oh, you just want to sit down. And they're running that Christian life. This is us. We're running the Christian life. Oh, see that chair there? It's a nice big shade tree. Probably willow tree because they have the best shade. And then my stitch hurts. Oh, right here it hurts. I got this blister in my toe. It's about ready to pop. In fact, I can feel it popping right now. Ooh, is that lemonade? And I smell popcorn. Oh, yes. I'm going to sit down right here. Sit right here on the side of the road of the race. Hey, look. There goes my dad. There goes my neighbor. There goes more people in my church. Hey, guys, this lemonade is pretty good. But I'm going to stay here for a little bit. I'm going to stay here for a minute. Just a minute. Take a 3-minute nap. I'll be good. I'll be up in the race as soon as this blister heals. 20 years later, we're still sitting there. Look, there goes my grandkids. We're still sitting there doing nothing for the Lord. Not accomplished a thing. Quitting our race. How many of us is that? How are you running your race? Are you running or are you still sitting on the sideline? You know, there's that one time I yelled at that guy, "Good job, buddy!" And I gave him the thumbs up. Man, I did something for the Lord that day. Encouraged the brethren. How's that accomplishing anything for the Lord? How are you running your race? Paul said he finished his course. He finished it. No, Paul ran that race. Paul had the same stitches in his side. Except he also had welts on his back, and he had lumps on his head from the rocks. Paul smelled the popcorn. He saw the lemonade. He knew how much it tasted, how well it tasted. He had the blisters on his feet. He saw that nice shade, and he was so tired, he wanted to take a nap. But did he stop? No, he didn't stop. He finished his course. He kept going. He saw that finish line, and he said, "I finished the course." Paul said, "Follow my finale." You know, we talk about grand finales. You know, fireworks, they have the boom, boom, booms, or the grand finales at the end of the music, and the conductor is waving his arms around, and everything's wonderful. That's nothing. Those grand finales are nothing. Grand finale is something like Paul had. I don't think Paul crawled across the finish line. I don't think his friends had to drag him. I don't think he just collapsed in front of it. I think he burst across the finish line like the champion he was. And because he finished the race of a lifetime, he got the reward of a lifetime. Look at verse 8. "Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me," Paul, "will give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing." Man, I want my finale to be like Paul's. I want God to put a crown on my head. And you know what I'm going to do with that crown? You know what Paul did with that crown? If I get that crown, you know what I'm going to do with that crown? We're going to keep it and save it for myself and tell him how great I am. No, we're going to give that crown. We're going to take that crown, give it right back to my Lord and Savior. Man, Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. He left his home in heaven for me. I can give something back to him. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Okay, you got to finish your race first. You're not going to get that crown. You're not going to have anything to give back to God if you don't finish your race. I want that crown. I want my wife to have that crown. I want every one of my kids to have that crown. I want everyone in here to have that crown. But you're not going to get that crown if you don't finish your race. I want to stand before my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ, and give him my crown back. That's what I want to do. The best thing about this crown is that we can earn it. Anyone in here can earn it. But I want to say this. You know, you can't love Christ appearing. We have to love Christ appearing to get this crown. But you can't love Christ appearing without loving Christ. And you can't love in Christ without serving him. And you can't serve him if you're not in church, if you're not finishing your race. If you're not doing anything for the Lord, you're not going to get that grand finale like Paul had. So start serving the Lord. Start being faithful. You say, when should I start serving the Lord? You know, should I wait until I'm older for the young kids? Wait until I'm older? Wait until I get in the ministry? Or wait until I do something? Start now. Start small. It'll grow bigger. Start small. Start with your daily devotions. Start by your praying. Start witnessing to others. Be faithful in every aspect of your life. Get in the fight. Run the race. Finish it. Love Christ's appearing. And you'll get the crown just like Paul got the crown. And I think Timothy was a lot like us. I think he's confused. You ever get confused sometimes? Not really sure what to do. And Paul stepped up and said, "Follow me. Follow me." And we need leaders. We need leaders, and we also need followers. I think that we need to be both. I think we need both leader and follower. Men, fathers and husbands, how are you leading your family? Are you leading your family the way Paul led Timothy? Are you leading your wives and your kids in that way? Are you staying faithful to God and fighting for him? And men and women, this is both men and women, how are you following? Say, how am I supposed to be a follower and a leader? Paul said, "Be followers of me as I am of Christ." Are you following the Lord? Are you following the Lord's commandments the way he set up? You know, it's a lot like footprints. A few years ago, we still lived in Indiana several years ago. We just had two kids then. I remember there was a bad snowstorm. And we took the kids out and go out and play in the backyard. And the snow was only up to my knees, but to the kids, it's to their waist. And they're crying, "I can't go, I can't follow you." So I'd step and make footprints. And they'd hop in those footprints and follow. Paul laid out footprints for us. Just hop in those footprints that Paul laid out. I mean, the Lord made the path clear. He made it easy for us. We just have to follow him. Just follow him. Just stay faithful. Stay in the fight. Finish your course. And man, you'll get that grand finale. Lord, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for these people here. Lord, thank you for their attentiveness. Lord, thank you for Paul. Thank you for giving us a wonderful, wonderful example like Paul. Lord, thank you for rewarding us for crowns. We don't even deserve heaven, Lord, but you give us rewards in heaven. We thank you so much for that. Lord, we ask you if you give everyone safe traveling back home. Lord, please help us to use this for your honor and glory. If it is your will, in your name, amen.